everyone. Thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren. And I'm joined today by Alex Nelson, developer and owner of The Midnight Gem, a wedding and event venue that booked 100 weddings while it was still during construction. He's also a venue consultant and hospitality entrepreneur. Thanks for joining me, Alex.
Thanks, Lauren. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. And our goal for today is to make adulting easier for listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. So today we're going to go the entrepreneurship route, Alex, and we're going to talk about wedding venues, obviously. So let's just start where this whole thing starts. Like, how did you get into this space?
Yeah, so my wife and I own and operate the venue together. So we got into it. I think how a lot of people think about it is we got married first. So we toured all the venues around our area. And this was coming up on 5 years ago when we got married. So we were touring venues probably 7 years ago or so, which is crazy. It's been that long. But yeah, we saw the need or the demand then. There's only like so many venues in our area. A lot of them were similar. And then a lot of them didn't have like offerings we were kind of wanting or looking for. So we kind of had the idea then, didn't quite have the money. We were fresh out of college. So fast forward a few more years, mid COVID, my wife was teaching, and she was not, she loved being a teacher and she's a great teacher. But like, things were chaos then. I was working like two remote full-time jobs and she was still somehow working more hours than I was. And it was just, it didn't make sense. So she was looking for an out and looking for something else. I clearly wanted to start my own business or go down like the real estate rabbit hole. And this was kind of like a mesh of both worlds. She originally talked about maybe becoming like a wedding planner of sorts. Loved weddings. We were at the age where everyone is getting married. Our friends and family were. So we kind of circled back to that idea of how do we build a wedding venue. I would say it ended up being way, way harder and way more expensive than we thought. But, you know, we didn't know what we didn't know, which was probably good at the time. So we fell forward into it, I like to say. That's how we got here, I guess.
So can you describe, obviously this is primarily an auditory medium, although of course this is on YouTube, but can you describe what your venue is like for listeners?
Yeah, so our venue is a lot of people, I think, when they think of these venues or these standalone venues, it's like a barn venue. We tried to go away from that route. So we are like, our building is all black. We kind of went like the modern industrial vibe. And we built it. So there's like two wings of the building. So on one side is like the bridal suite side. So like the bridal suite and like the women's bathroom, and that's like a wing. And then the guys are on the other side, the groom suite and their bathroom and stuff is over there. So it makes it kind of like a cool, like winged V shape looked from the road. And then like the middle is like the big grand hall. We're big on like the indoor outdoor vibe. So like the back walls all like big bifold doors. And then like off to the side is like a courtyard area where we have like we play like cornhole and like fire pits and other outdoor games and things like that. So definitely quite a bit different than what was around our area before, which is the whole goal kind of. We just didn't want to like copy and paste someone else's venue. So
how much land is it on?
Yeah, surprisingly, not that much. So 2.5 acres is what we built on. Definitely was a little tight, but we looked for like a location that was close. We're kind of by the airport, so we want to be like close to the airport, easy access, not off like a gravel road or off the beaten path sort of thing, and then near hotels. So we kind of had like this like radius that we were looking in versus looking for something that had like 10 acres plus or like you know, on a huge farm or anything like that. And we were going away from like the barn venue style, so we kind of sacrificed on maybe like the size of our property there or like the land, but location was more ideal for us. So
other than location and the barn thing, what were some things that you didn't like about other venues that you didn't want to repeat?
Yeah, style was a big one. So definitely have to still hit on that. But there was like where we got married, there was no like groom suite. So I stayed at like a buddy's house the night before and we all got ready there. And then we came to the venue and the girls were late getting ready. So like we sat in the parking lot waiting for like a half hour, you know, waiting for them because I couldn't see. couldn't see my wife until like her that we did like our first look or whatever. So having like a groom suite was like a big one. I would say now that seems pretty obvious, but 2, 3, 5 years ago, a lot of these venues didn't have any getting ready suites, and then they started to have some, and it would usually just be a bridal suite. Now I'd say most being built are definitely including both. They're pretty much a must-have at this point, I would say. So that a lot of the times there's only like a small like pop-up bar or things like that. We wanted like our bar to be like a statement piece and really like a focal
Nice.
point. It's where people hang out at and gather. So our bar is pretty large and it's pretty nice, I would say. Style-wise, indoor outdoor was a big one, like I said. So I think the mix of all that kind of all added up.
So what are some, I'm going to use the term amenities because I come from short-term rental world. What are some things that like contribute to success of wedding venues?
So kind of what I've been already hitting on is like definitely trying to stand out. It's one big room. You kind of have to leave it somewhat plain or somewhat neutral so that people can decorate however they want. But there's different things you can do. Like we put a putting green in ours or off the groom suite on ours. So that's a big hit. So like there's like a waterfall or feature with like the putting green, which is then next to like the fire pits and like the outdoor game. So those are like our amenities kind of right there. Is that like indoor outdoor spot. So I'd say that, and the more and more venues I see, I think it's kind of like the short-term rental world, like everyone's just essentially one-upping each other and the next big amenity, which I think is good. It makes it more competitive and it makes it a better guest experience. Just like the short-term rental world or boutique hotels, it's all about the experiences. So it's like experiential hospitality essentially. Also I think it's in a similar realm as that. I'd say, keep elevating the experiences is what's gonna set them apart from other venues.
Are there some extras that you can make additional money on? Like, are there any like add-ons?
Yeah, I think venues are known for that. So I think you got to be a little careful though too, because couples definitely don't. Weddings are expensive, right? Like everyone knows that. Everyone complains about it, which it's true. But there's also a reason for it on the flip side. But if you're nickel and diming them for every little thing, it could get quite annoying. So we actually went like the opposite route with our pricing model. Like we try to include like everything they see at the venue, like all in one package. Unless there's like an additional like service to it, like where we have to like staff and another employee, like we have like a mobile bar if they want that, they do have to pay extra for that. Or if like they want extra hours, like they have to pay for that because we have to staff it and that sort of thing. But like we have like altar options or like table runners. We just include all that in our price. Our goal is to get more weddings versus trying to make a little extra money on every little thing. So that's kind of the route we went, but there's a ton of different like businesses you could go with it essentially too. And I say businesses because everyone thinks the little add-ons, but like having all these decor options and like having a huge room and keeping inventory of all that is like another whole business. So and that's like we didn't want to do that right away. Like we built our building ground up, like getting it up. We were essentially real estate developers, and then now we're operating the business and the asset. So like that was enough on our plate already that we didn't want to do all those things on the side yet. But you could definitely have like a decor rental business. We don't do catering. We let them bring in their own caterers, but you could do the catering. We do the bar and the alcohol, and things like that. But I mean, if you're a florist or a photographer, like you could basically pair all those services on to those if you wanted to.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about numbers when it comes to the weddings. How much, I mean, well, just talk me through it. What does that look like?
Yeah, so our main sources of income are the rental fee and then alcohol. So rental fee is usually depending on the season and if it's a Friday, Saturday, or Sunday or a weekday. We don't do a ton of weekdays, but every now and again. So mostly Fridays and Saturdays. And for us, I'm in Iowa, so peak season is like May through basically up until like the Thanksgiving weekend. We'll see pretty much every Friday, Saturday being booked. So Saturdays are like 7,500. Fridays are like 6,500. And then the Friday gets like the Thursday before for free, so little perks and things like that. So usually the rental fee is anywhere between 5 to like 8,000 or so, let's say. And then alcohol, it really just depends, but I think we average about 4,000 per wedding, on the revenue side. So it's about 10 grand per wedding is what it's shaking out to be. So there's that, and that's just weddings too, but we can do other events also. So the whole business, as a whole, last year we did 780 in total revenue. This year we're on track for closer to 900.
Wow.
And then I think eventually we'll kind of peak out around like 1 million per year, once we're kind of rolling for a few more years.
Okay, so Fridays and Saturdays, that's interesting. Again, I'm thinking about this from a short-term rental perspective. Not unusual, especially in off-season times for us, where just our weekends will be booked, right? And we're talking
Right.
Friday and Saturday for half the year. What do you do with the space the rest of the time? Like, I mean, does it drive you crazy? Or maybe it doesn't anymore, but like, I could be making money on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Like, how can I maximize this?
Yes and no. There's a lot more than just renting the space that goes into it. Like, I would say more so than even like the short-term rental side is that it is like a full operating business. So like to book these weddings, people are spending 10 grand. It takes a lot. So it goes from like online leads to then they reach out to do a tour. So, we were
Right.
70 weddings this year. So to get 70 weddings booked, you're probably going to do, even if you're booking 60 to 70%, let's say 50 to 60, that means you're doing 140 tours. Okay. So then for every
Wow.
wedding that you book, we do like a 3 month meeting and then a 2 week out meeting. So
Okay.
that's meetings per couple, so another 140 meetings for the year. And then so Friday weddings get Thursday before free to set up. So now Thursday, Friday, Saturday's booked. Sometimes we have Sunday weddings. Otherwise, on Sundays we have a church that rents our space. That if we don't have a wedding, so now Thursday through Sunday we're full, most of the year. So that just leaves Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for like all those meetings, all those tours, just getting the space ready, getting bar orders going, getting it cleaned up, anything like that. So it really does get filled up way faster and quicker than most people realize. Like we're not like twiddling our thumbs most days during the week, by any means. We will make like weekday events work and move things around if we have to. But yeah, I would say it's definitely getting full and busier. Now that we've been open a little longer, we're getting more corporate events, we're getting more like charity events, grad parties, those kind of things to kind of fill in the gaps. Definitely not like every single day we're hosting event. I would say anyone that's looking to build or buy a venue, it's just not realistic to do that.
Yeah, good point.
If we rented it 365 days a year, that'd be insane. And I think the building would probably collapse. I don't know, but I think what we're doing right now is decent. I hope that we it's mostly the off seasons, more so than the weekday stuff. So
Right.
we're
That's a good
working on
point.
that. Winter, it's the corporate events, the holiday parties, getting those guys
Yeah.
back, like corporate trainings here now. So smaller things like that, but they're also not making what like a wedding does. So
Sure.
yeah.
And think about those numbers. Say it's like $10,000, $11,000 for the venue. These people, you've got to be cognizant of how much additional money they're spending on top of that. They've got the catering, they've got photographer, videographer, the dress, the ring, the honeymoon. There is so much more to it. So you must deal with some, like, from a financial, personal finance perspective, these people must be a little stressed out, right?
Very much so, yes. Yeah, and they book the venue, a year and a half, 2 years in advance. Like it's
Wow.
first thing they're paying for. Like I think it's like fine at that point usually. But get
Yeah.
down to that 3 month meeting, that 2 week meeting, like they are maxed out. They're paying for all the other vendors, so they're usually paying for like the bar last. Which then I would say that's when the most questions come into play, and like why does this cost this much or this that, or I can go down to the grocery store and buy it for this, but it's like I need to go to a restaurant or or a hotel or something and complain about their $10 drinks. No. Yeah, that comes into play, dealing with brides and their parents, can be stressful for our staff too. So we know they're stressed, we know there's a lot of money going into it. We definitely do our best, and that's kind of like our job is to deliver on that service. But it can be a lot.
What do you do about weddings that like get booked but don't happen?
Yeah. I would say at this point it's a couple times a year someone breaks up. They already put their money down deposit. So our deposits are non-refundable. They put 50% down up front. So you're talking a year or 2 years in advance. Something's bound to happen. That's in our contract, non-refundable. We do like hold the option, like if we felt bad or we needed to give them the money back, we would. If someone was like sick or something really bad, we'd usually make it work, which we have in the past, but we don't necessarily advertise that. If they just straight up break up, unfortunately, not much we can do because we are like blocking off that date. Like we likely like won't rebook it depending on like how far out they tell us. If it's only 3, 6 months out, like it's hard to book a wedding in that time frame, especially for like the same amount that we did before. And we did like
Right.
spend money to get them as a customer the first time, marketing dollars, paying staff to do the tours and the meetings and those kind of things. So it's not as easy as just like giving the money back as some may think. Even if we do rebook the date, because it's just still more work that we had to do for it. Yeah, so not I wouldn't say it's like a sore subject, but I we have like talked and thought about this a lot. So yeah, usually they just don't get their money back. Someone got like deployed, and they wanted to like cancel their wedding, and like that case was a little different. They didn't end up like we'll let them like rebook to another date so they can push it like a year down the line if they want, and we'll just take that deposit and move it over. So we actually do that decently often. Quite a few people get like pregnant before their wedding and they want to push it back, or like that situation where you got deployed, they want to push it back a year. We do get that option, which a lot of other venues don't. So I'd say that makes us feel better. Like we do feel guilty, bad, if they do break up and they want their money back, sort of thing, but we kind of just have to hold strong.
I mean, so I was engaged once, booked a venue, and then the wedding didn't happen. I called it off. I ended up like it was like the best weekend of the year, and maybe this is bad that I did this, but like I knew like 10 months out from that date that it wasn't going to happen, but I could get like the same amount of money back up to 3 months before. And so they were, I called them. I was like, so can I have like, can I have my money back? And they were like, no. I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna cancel 3 months out instead of right now. And then they gave me my money back minus $60. So they did actually do that. I strong-armed them a little bit, and I feel a little bad about that. But I know 100% they rebooked it like mid-March in Florida. Like it was like numbered for sure. They rebooked it. So, but also going back to the Airbnb thing here, where or my short-term rentals, where like people ask us for refunds all the time. And there's two things that I think about that. One, they can get travel insurance, and I'm sure they have insurance on weddings you get. Number two, they maybe book, maybe there are people that I think that we lose that don't book our place because of our cancellation policy. And so how can I just not stick by my cancellation policy? Because I think I'm losing bookings, or maybe people aren't willing to pay as much because they know 30 days out they're going to lose half their money, right? So that's why I stick to my policy. But yeah, so you said they do have insurance for weddings.
Yeah, they do. You can get like a same sort of thing, like travel insurance or wedding insurance. Basically, like something happened or whatever, they can get their money back through their insurance if they did it that way. And yeah, it's the same sort of thing as like you might be losing out on bookings. Like if someone does cancel 3 months out and we can't rebook it, which has happened multiple times, we're still losing 50% there plus the
Fifty
bar
percent,
revenue, right? So now we think about it like on the ones where we do keep their deposit and then we rebook it. That's like barely even if making up for the other ones where we don't. So it's like it barely equals out, sort of thing. So yeah, I would say either like we would rather them just have the wedding. Like we don't
Of
want to
course.
cancel. We don't want to keep deposits necessarily. Like we're not making extra money from it. Like they so yeah.
Yeah, I think some people think that if like, oh, you make a lot of money when people cancel like this, and I'm like, no, I promise you, I do not.
I would say, not to get too far off on a tangent here, but like since like venues and maybe even short-term rentals get this too, because like it's clearly like the price is like on the website or on the booking, it's very easy for them to go on the website and then they see all these dates booked or blocked off and like they start doing math on like, oh, they're making so much money, they're doing this. And yes, we're a business, we're trying to make money, but like It's like one of those like few businesses where it's just like so advertised, or like they think they know like exactly what's going on in our business, that it can be frustrating that they basically just think we're rolling in it at all times.
Right.
But you know, like there's way more that goes into it than they even know or will ever imagine. So
Yeah, for sure. No, I definitely can relate to that. And I guess I'll just stick with this comparing this to short-term rentals thing. What's the impact of reviews?
huge. I mean, I think even more so than, you know, someone's going on vacation and they want a nice place to stay, like, you know, they want it to go well, and it's important, but and they're spending a good chunk of money for it. But you know, I would say almost take it up a level. It's like the most important day of their life. Like
Oh,
they,
yeah.
you know, like they're spending all of the money on it. So like they need everything to be perfect. And yeah, a ton of bad reviews, I would say, probably would just crush a venue. Good thing for the most part we have good reviews. So I haven't seen the bad side of it, I guess. But I would imagine that it would not be great for booking if you had a ton of, you know, one star reviews, 3 star reviews even.
So you said you're at about 900,000 from revenue here. You think you'll get to 1 million? What are you doing to get from here to there?
Yeah, mostly it's just like the ramp up now that I think our weddings for the most part will stay pretty consistent. We did 68 weddings last year. I think we'll do 70-ish this year. I think 2025 might be even a little more. It's mostly just we've been around now, a little bit more established. People are a little more hesitant to book when we were newer, still under construction. A lot of questions on like how many years in service we have and like
Yeah.
experience on the wedding side, things like that. I think that we're moving past those kind of questions. So definitely, hopefully a little bit more weddings, but let's just say those stay pretty consistent. Mostly like getting other events in there. So like I said, like getting more corporate events. Now we're starting to have like repeat customers there. Same thing with like charity events or you know, baby showers, bridal showers. We're kind of getting a mix of like all those different things. Where at the beginning when we just opened, we weren't getting those as much. I think mostly just people didn't know about us, things like that. So a lot of that, we did like raise prices like after we were done and opened. So a couple like rental price increases, increased bar prices, offering one other service like day of coordination, which is like a step down from like full on wedding planning basically. So we do that in house now. And that's starting to be pretty popular. We're booking more than we can even handle at this point. We had to hire like more people to be able to do that. So that's a good problem to have. And then we did just roll out like a vendor, like we'll get kickbacks from vendors now. We didn't do that right when we first opened. So we have like a preferred vendor list. So if people book someone on that preferred vendor list that we give out, they'll give us like 10% back, essentially, or kickback or referral fee, whatever you want to call it. So all those things kind of are starting to add up.
Makes sense. Sounds good. So again, on the personal finance side, from not your side of things, but from the bride and groom or the people getting married, I guess it could be groom and groom, bride and bride. For those people, how are they paying for these things? Do you have any idea?
I think we see more often than not a mix of everyone. I would say, you know, like traditionally it's what the bride's parents would pay for everything. I would say that's definitely not the case the majority of the time. A lot of times we see checks coming from, you know, both families. They're splitting it somehow. A lot of times it feels like both sides of the family and the couple are chipping in too. So it's a kind of mix of all three. So I think that definitely helps, right? Like if you think, I think the average wedding in the US is like 30, 35,000 or floating around that range, which is a lot, you know. But if you split it up now between three different parties, you know, it's getting down to more like 10K each. And if everyone had their job, it could be, you know, it could be like up to like six incomes kind of paying for it, or even more.
Sure.
Sometimes a lot of people are divorced, so there is multiple sets of you know, like stepdad, step family, step things, kind of things like
Good
that. So
point.
more sources of it, like we see a lot of that. So I think you know, a lot of the parents usually, but we do see a lot of the couples paying also. I think if the couple was paying themselves, we can definitely kind of feel it. You know, they're definitely stressed and budget conscious, which is, you know, that's fine. We try to help as much as we can. You know, we have like the way the bar is set up, like they don't have to buy anything for for their guests. Like they could not pay for anything up front. They could just do straight cash bar and have their guests pay. They could, you know, buy a couple kegs ahead of time. That's what's free. And once that runs out, then the guests pay. Or if the guests want something special, they can buy it themselves. So lots of different things. We try to be mindful of that. We are in Iowa, I would say, that it's not like super duper high class or anything. So yeah, we kind of know our customers at this point. So
Do you think anybody's financing the wedding?
I don't know, to be honest. Maybe it kind of hurts. I've always been a personal finance kind of junkie too. You know, that's how I saved a lot of my money, is being kind of obsessed with that side of things and getting to this point. So it kind of hurts that people might be, because I don't think it's a great idea. Yeah, I don't know entirely. I've had a couple like companies reach out to us, like offering that we could offer it to the couples, and we might explore it. I just know. I mean, if they are, it's, you know, 10, probably pushing 15% interest sort of thing, which is isn't great, but yeah.
Okay, I have a weird question. This is like
Sure.
a drama queen side of me. Has there been a speak now, forever hold your peace, and like somebody spoke? Anything like
I don't think so.
that?
At this point, I'm not at very many weddings. I'm sure I would hear about that. I think a lot of goofy speeches, you know, people throwing up, people getting drunk, those sorts of things. Other than that, maybe nothing like too crazy. Trying to think.
Nobody's like broken up at the altar. No, as nobody's like not shown up. Has any of that ever happened?
No, we've had someone cancel about 5 days out from their wedding, or 4 days out. So basically a week of they broke up. So that happened. I guess someone's like fired a vendor, like day of sort of thing. Photographer like got fired like right before the ceremony.
Oh.
That's happened. Yeah, I'd say those are maybe the dramatic ones. But
Okay, I was just curious.
yeah.
Okay, so this will be my last question. Do you have any desire to do this again at another venue? Anything like that?
So I think I'm assuming how you found me, and a lot of people have found me, is through Twitter. And so I got on Twitter about a year ago, and since then I've had a ton of people reach out, you know, about partnering. I do a lot of consulting now. I was looking at some existing venues to buy. I've looked at like other development sites. So I've done a lot of that, and I definitely think, you know, we never dreamed of like copy and pasting our venue and building like 20 or 50 of them necessarily, but we do like the space, and I think we want to keep going down that path of venues, like hospitality space, sort of thing. So, you know, a venue with like on-site accommodations, and more going down almost like the boutique hotel mini resort kind of feel. So I'm actually partnering with Ben Wolf, is Unique Stays guy on Twitter. He has a pretty cool project that we just teamed up on and are raising money for. So that's going to be like a 45 room, like landscape hotel, unique stay sort of space that'll have an event space as well. So that I'm doing. And then, yeah, I want to keep kind of going down that path of bigger properties, pretty cool properties. So,
That's awesome. Is
yeah.
there anything else you want to add before we wrap up, Alex?
I don't think so. I mean, if anyone has any questions, and feel free to DM me on Twitter. I try to respond to most people. I do limit to calls nowadays because I get a lot of requests for those, but I'm
Yeah.
happy to answer some high level questions and try to help out as much as I can. We definitely don't know everything, but we learned a lot going through this, and have helped quite a few others. So yeah, feel free to reach out on Twitter.
So that's at Wedding Venue Guy. And what's your website?
Yeah, the website is themidnightgem.com is our venue website. So go check that out. Check out our Instagram, follow us, and yeah.
All right, guys. Same here. Twitter, Adulting is Easy. Instagram, Adulting is Easy. Reel, YouTube, at Adulting is Easy. If you like this episode, you also like episode 86, When Entrepreneurship Pays Off. Thanks again for listening, everybody. Hopefully, Alex and I have made adulting a little easier for you.